Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the Land DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of February 2015. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll, of course, look at the cash grain markets with the folks out at the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County, Illinois, and discuss the weather forecast with the guys up at Earth Risk Technology in Chicago as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. Futures finished a bit higher in the corn pit. March contract at 371 3/4, up 1 3/4. The May up a penny and a quarter, 379 3/4. And July corn at 387.5, up 1.5 cents. September there at 394 1/4, up 1 1/4. And next year's December corn up 2 cents at $4.2 3/4. From the soy complex, bean futures for the day down a penny and a half at 959.5. The May at 966 1/4, down 1 1/2. And July at 971 3/4, down a penny. August 3/4 lower at 971 1/4. November beans at 945 1/4, down a half cent on the afternoon. January of next year at 950 1/4, down 1 1/4. Bean meal futures at 327.90, down $2 in the bean oil for the day. 30.41, up 41 cents. Soft red winter wheat on the afternoon finished in Chicago a dime lower at $4.92 3/4 for the March. July at 501 3/4, down 9 3/4. And the hard red in Kansas City actually trades in Chicago, but it's the hard red Kansas City contract. In the March at 534.5, down 5 3/4. July at 540, down 6 1/4 for the day. Live cattle futures finished the lead option February at 152.92 1/2. That's down $1.92 1/2. The April down $2.90 at 149.37 1/2. June were down the $3 limit, by the way, at 141.62 1/2. Feeder cattle on the afternoon at $200.70, and the lead down 450. That's the limit. April down the 450 limit as well, and everything on out to the September were 450 lower for the day. Lean hogs had trade down $1 at $66.47 1/2. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures in the March contract at $49.41 a barrel, $1.17 higher on the afternoon. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.70 6/10. That's 0.5 cents higher. Gasoline for the day at $1.53 9/10, up 6 cents for the day. And natural gas, $2.68 6/10, 0.5 cents lower on the afternoon. Ethanol futures up 2 3/10 at $1.39, and that, of course, is their settlement price. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,090, down just about 7 points. Gold futures around $1,280, up 75 cents, and the U.S. dollar down 0.248 at 94.75. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon, mostly sunny skies, a high near 17 degrees. The wind chills between 5 and 10 above on a west wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, some scattered flurries. Those will come before midnight, or rather between midnight and 3 a.m. Mostly cloudy otherwise. A low of 16 degrees. Calm winds this evening out of the southwest at 5 to 7. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, high near 32 degrees. As warmer winds come in, they remain out of the southwest at 5 to 9. Mostly cloudy on Tuesday evening with a low of 27. And Wednesday, a 30% chance of snow. Mostly cloudy and a high of 29 degrees. Wednesday night, a 30% chance of snowfall. Mostly cloudy and 4 degrees, sunny on Thursday and 12, Friday sunny and 32, Saturday partly sunny and 38. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast with the folks up at Earth Risk Technologies at the bottom of the half hour.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this second day of February 2015. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Kurt Kimmel is on the phone line from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks so much. How are you doing there?
We're staying warm, Todd. Thank you.
Well, that's good because it's a little cool and it feels a lot colder than yesterday. However, I'd rather have cold and clear than warmer and all the snow we had yesterday. The folks up in the northern part of Illinois and other parts of the Midwest really got dumped on. We, I suppose, got the better part of that deal than they did. I do want to go through something that the weather has an impact on, and maybe we should start with the cattle on feed numbers and then talk about what kind of conditions growers and producers have to move cattle and hogs in particular. And maybe if you could take us through the cattle on feed numbers from Friday afternoon, they showed a pretty good set.
Yeah, it's cattle inventory report. It came in, when you look at all the cattle and calves, it was 89.8 million head. That's 1% up. When you kind of break it down, beef cows up 2%, milk cows up 1%, all heifers up 1%, beef replacement heifers up 4%. And you just go down the line here, just up 1% to 2% across the board, indicating, you know, some optimism out there and expansion. Expansion is going to be slow. But it's in the works in through here. Markets starting to show some reflection of that. But the market action just not totally on the expansion ideas down the road. Part of it is a fear, a little slowdown in beef exports. A little stronger dollars a concern there as we look longer term. But probably the main culprit is when you look at domestic beef consumption. It wasn't too long ago, you know, we're up close to 75, 80 pounds. Now we're, you know, approaching, dropping below 50 pounds. And so U.S. Meat consumption here, red meat, particular beef, just really dropped off the cliff. Hog pork consumption is holding its own, but the big increase has been on the poultry side of the equation. So in order to continue to see higher beef prices here, we're just going to have some double cheeseburger specials coming up or something like that.
I suspect we will, but we may not until we lower the price just a bit more for live cattle futures. Feeder cattle and live cattle have had a difficult time, and they're down again, the limits and expanded limits in feeder cattle for the day. What's happening there? Why is the market moving so sharply? Do you know?
Yeah, well, not exactly, but a couple of things, observations is, I mentioned the strong dollar. We're seeing a lot more imports, out of Mexico. We're seeing all of a sudden guys are wanting to move. We've seen a big pickup in movement in through here. The puzzling thing, though, when you look at the overall spread activity between corn and feeders, that spread has just been totally crushed. There was a huge speculative crowd in there along the feeders and short the corn, and they're coming out of that spread quite heavily in through here. The key is see if the feeders can kind of hold this old 195-2 area, because we've basically taken about $40 off the feeder here fairly quickly.
Then transition to me for the grains and the oil seeds. What happened in the marketplace?
Well, it continues to be more of the same. Probably the most exciting part of the day was shortly before 9:30. Somebody had a big 15,000 corn buy stop order that got triggered. Hopefully that wasn't a fat finger trade, because the mark was up 9 cents before things settled down. There's nothing worse than having some stops in there and get ripped on those. So the concern, though, is we just didn't hold the gains off that. So it kind of feels like the market kind of still wants to drift in through here. Overall, market's oversold. If you look at your momentum indicators, we're down here at the bottom. trying to carve out a little bit of low. We just need a catalyst to catch in through here to give the market some confidence to march a little bit higher in through here. Mm. Beans, same old story. When you look long-term fundamentally, guys pushing the pencil on the supply-demand balance sheet, you know, continue to project a few more acres next year, trying to get the carry out, you know, up towards the 500-600 million bushel area. Then you got another year they're trying to push carry out up over 800 million bushels here for the U.S. Now, I mean, you can, you know, lower yield and finagle that a little bit, but the main concern is when you look at 400 million bushel plus, you go back to 2005, 2006, bean prices trade between $5 and $7. So the fear continues to be if we stay up above 400 million bushels on U.S. carry out, we're going to drift lower. And back in 2005, 2006, world carryout was 50, 45 million metric tons. Now world carryout is up towards over 90 million metric tons. So, you know, just a lot of beans around, not only here in the U.S., but worldwide, and that continues to be the fear as we move forward.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us today. Looking forward to having you in Springfield at the Northfield Inn and Suites on Thursday night for one of our Will Ag panels.
Looking forward to it, Todd.
All right. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. How about we turn our attention now to Washington, D.C. and conservation practices as it relates to water. The National Association of Conservation Districts president-elect Lee McDaniel is now entering a two-year term as president of the association. And McDaniel says he wants to cast a broader net beyond conservation issues with the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources Conservation Service.
We have conservation issues in the urban areas, but there's urban areas in every part of this country now. And they have stormwater management, sediment and erosion control issues, and conservation districts are involved in some states and probably should be involved more in the future. So we need to work more with the Department of Interior. We do get funding from EPA, even though some people might think of them as our arch rivals. Our goals are similar. Our ways of getting there are different.
McDaniel also believes NACD needs to reach out to the Department of Education.
We have this Envirothon program throughout the country, reaches 500,000 high school students every year. Funding is an issue. Well, this is an opportunity for the federal government, Department of Education, to get active in there. People that work in NRCS, USDA, NOAA, EPA have all come through that program.
The program is an employee training premise for the federal government, which McDaniel says the government should participate in. Another important issue he will pay close attention to as president is appropriations.
The Republicans are looking for potential ways to cut the budgets. We don't want to wait to the point where we can't produce enough food for this country or to have the resources available in the future for the next generation to be able to produce food. So the message needs to be conservation now. It's not something that you can put off down the future. We need to be funded to get the job done now.
And McDaniel says the payoff will be the future. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Hey, don't forget to join us on Wednesday of this week at the Peoria Civic Center for the Pork Expo. We'll be there from 1:30 to 3 with our Will Ag panels, including Jackie Vakes, who you hear regularly on our air here, and a couple of extra analysts, including Brett Stewart of Global Agri Trends and from CIH, John Perkins. Should be a great day for pork producers and for grain producers. Come and see us there at the Pork Expo at the Peoria Civic Center on Wednesday afternoon from 1:30 to 3 o'clock. Can't get there? How about in Springfield on Thursday evening? We'll be at the Northfield Inn and Suites starting at 6:30 p.m. This one's free and open to everybody. If you get the opportunity, come and see us at the Northfield Inn and Suites at 6:30. On hand with us, along with the folks at Strategic Farm Marketing like Bill Mayer and Dave Jansen, who will make a presentation about crop insurance and the Farm Bill, we'll have Matt Bennett and Kurt Kimmel. That's Thursday, and then Matt will join us on Saturday morning at 11:15 in Joliet. We'll be at the Chicago Farmers Farmland Forum. That's just across from the Chicago Speedway, Joliet Junior College, the Weitendorf Center for Agriculture. We hope to see you there, too. Chuck Shelby will be along with us, as will Gary Schnitke. That's on Saturday. Speaking of the Pork Checkoff, did you know they have websites directed to consumers? The Pork Checkoff has just, in fact, introduced a brand new responsive design to the Pork Be Inspired website. Pork Checkoff Consumer Communications Director Pamela Johnson says consumers can find fresh holiday ideas right there online.
We've just updated that website and over 2,000 recipes that we have, and now you can reach that site and experience that site on any device that you have, whether it be a tablet or mobile device or of course, your laptop computer. It will be a great experience for viewing great pork recipes now.
The responsive design, it's user-friendly for online experiences.
When you log into the website, you're viewing in terms of how the page appears and how you can search through it and view recipes. It's now one that will be really a great read, whether you're on your smartphone or whether you're at your laptop computer.
Johnson says pork passionate consumers, her phrase, not mine, are connecting to the Pork Checkoff website in a whole bunch of different ways, and that the new design is just maximizing that opportunity. Oh, since we seem to be all about livestock for the day, let's do one more, but we'll switch species this time. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association supports Trade Promotion Authority, and the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that says NCBA President Bob McCann.
We're excited about the negotiations going on with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and we see that as a real benefit to our producers and being able to export more of our product overseas. And a big component, of course, of being able to kind of expedite that, we feel, is a trade promotion authority for this administration. And we would like to try and do whatever we can to help work both sides of the aisle in our nation's capital and build support for trade promotion authority.
In order to be competitive in the global markets, U.S. products need to have comparable prices, and McCann says free trade helps in that.
It will definitely help us be more competitive. There's many of our competitors that are aggressively trying to achieve some trade agreements right now and to reduce some tariffs. And if we get behind our competitors on this, then it's going to hurt us in trade because our products may not be as attractive due to higher tariffs. These trade agreements that we're working on are going to help us a lot in being able to compete around the world.
McCann says TPA will provide a better situation to help the U.S. economy and provide more jobs through expanded international trade opportunities. He says the ability to have an up and down vote in Congress for these trade agreements is a big benefit for trade in general. NCBA encourages everyone to talk to their elected officials, he says, about the benefits of trade opportunities for producers and to the nation's economy. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.
Guarantee your seats today for the March 10th All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Keynoting the day is Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services, and we'll get a presentation on land values from Murray Wise. And we'll take all of your questions on soybean and corn futures, cash grain, and whatever else is on your mind. Call now for tickets at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300.
It's a Monday afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Greg Johnson joins us now to take a look at the cash grain market. He's located at the Anderson's Grain Elevator right here in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us. I bet it's kind of slow there today. Is that right?
It is. There's a few hardy souls that have ventured out and have tried to haul some grain in today, but I think for the most part, most people are going to wait for a better day.
Well, better day to haul grain, and slow is either whether you're busy in the elevator itself or whether you're busy on the phone lines, and I take it you're not busy on the phone lines either.
No. With the 40-cent sell-off that we saw in the corn market in January, I think now most farmers are going to wait to see if we get a little bit of a rally, or maybe wait to see what that March 31 acreage report says, or see what kind of weather we have to start the spring planting season off. So it seems like we're in a wait-and-see mode right now.
Wait and see, and it's a long ways off, I suppose, until we get to the March 31 event. The weather could play an impact. I guess I was looking and saw that there are some droughty areas according to the drought maps, but those usually get wiped out pretty quickly in the spring by normal rainfall patterns.
Yeah, I was just looking. I think we're about 3 inches behind normal here in central Illinois over the last 6 months. But as you said, we can make up 3 inches pretty quickly. So I don't think that drought is a big concern at this point. I really think the bigger possibility for a corn market rally is going to come if there's less acres in that March 31 report rather than weather concerns. I think that's what if farmers are holding out for something to rally the corn market, it's probably going to be that March 31 report, maybe not so much the weather in the spring.
Do you have a feel for the area, whether we've changed much here in East Central Illinois?
I was just going over some numbers the other day. We were talking about this. Illinois has been pretty consistent over the last 6 years, right around 12 million acres of corn, 9.5 million acres of beans. But last year, we did drop 200,000 acres. We went from 12.2 to 12.0 million acres of corn. I think we really could see that drop again, maybe down to 11.85, so 150,000 less acres of corn. And, of course, all those would go to beans then. So, you know, more bean acres here in Illinois, less in corn. That's not a big move here, but that's just one state. If you take some of the other states that aren't typically what I would call strong corn states, you know, the Minnesotas, the North Dakotas, the Michigans, the Missouris, we could see some acres shift out of there. So if we're going to see less corn acres, it's probably going to be out of those peripheral states.
Do you suppose where do you suppose the 200,000 acres that we did not sow to wheat last fall will go?
Beans.
In the state of Illinois, those would be in beans. So
yeah, I would think so.
So yeah. You're not counting that in the number you're talking about, though. So you're adding 400,000 acres of beans in the state of Illinois.
250,000. I think wheat acres were down from 880,000 to 740. So there's 140,000.
They were from 750 to 550.
550. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would mean even more bean acres then.
Yeah.
That would. I think. I don't think that goes to corn. I mean, if you look at the economics of it. It would be a stretch to think that those wheat acres would, you know, maybe a few of them, but primarily I think they would go to corn or they would have to go to bean acres.
Well, I guess we'll have more to watch, and not like we need a whole lot more beans hanging around, but I suppose.
No.
I suppose if you like to plant corn, which most farmers do, it better to have more beans than more corn, I guess, if you go.
Well, and the, you know, the potential is, you know, for all these extra bean acres, if we have anything close to normal yield, the potential for a price decline in beans is probably, you know, more prevalent than it is for corn. I think if farmers don't want to get too excited about selling ahead, you know, I think that's okay on new crop corn, but maybe you hedge a few of those corn acres you know, with bean sales. Make sure you definitely have bean sales made, because the potential still is lower rather than higher in the bean market.
Hey, thanks so much. That, of course, is Greg Johnson with the Andersons. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
It's Brewhog Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1659, Jan van Riebeck, the first governor of the Cape of Good Hope in South Africa, made the first wine from grapes grown at the Cape. He planted the vineyard in 1655. In 1795, the French government offered a prize of 12,000 francs for a method of preserving food for transport to the French army. It was eventually won by Nicholas Appert, who invented a successful method for canning. In 1820, Jean Bohr died. He was the inventor of the sugar granulating process and founder of the sugar industry in Louisiana. In 1869, the removable steel plow blade was invented by James Oliver. In 1887, the first Groundhog Day was observed in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. In 1897, Alfred L. Crowley of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, patented an ice cream scooper. His basic design is still used today. In 1913, Carl Gustav Patrick de Lavelle died, a Swedish scientist and inventor. Among his inventions was the centrifugal cream separator and a vacuum milking machine. And in 1996, Ray McIntyre died, a chemical engineer who worked for Dow Chemical Company. He invented styrofoam. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
This is the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. We're joined by John Davis at Earthris Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. John, I want you to tell me about this big storm that moved through yesterday. We got, here lucky because I think there are a lot of places in the Midwest that really got dumped on.
Well, the biggest one that got dumped on was Chicago, where our official report was 19.2, which makes it the fifth biggest snowstorm of all time. But there were some reports of 21 and 22 inches around the area. And it really came down to a combination of a long-duration snow that began at 5 p.m. on Saturday evening, just ended really at about 9 o'clock this morning as our lake snow ended, with incredibly strong winds, especially late yesterday and overnight. We had steady winds of 30 or 35, numerous gusts of 50. And the reason that we got more and the reason why we were the epicenter of this storm is that we got more lake snow than any other region here, which we've kind of called this the I-80 type storm because the heaviest snow band was on I-80, really all the way from here in Des Moines all the way out east here to the I-95 corridor. So, yeah, we were the epicenter of the storm, and we pretty much got the most out of anybody.
It was a bit of a shocker, I think, for a lot of folks in the area. They were looking for some snow, maybe even quite a bit of snow, but this one really piled it on.
Well, what's interesting is that even late last week, things were looking better on Friday, but looking better in the regards of 8 or 10 inches. Then on Saturday, then things were up to about 13 inches, and then you had this lake snow component add another, 6 or 7 inches on top of that in some areas. And so in the end of the day, we get, 20 inches of snowfall, which is really a historic snowstorm for us. And certainly didn't look that way on Wednesday or Thursday of last week. It looked like it was going south. But no model predicted the kind of amounts that we inevitably got here. We kind of centered on yesterday and last night.
Yeah, so this was a big one. It shut down a lot of roads. Interstates still need to be cleared out. We need winds to lay down. Has that happened yet?
Winds are still up there, but they have been decreasing during the afternoon hours. The morning was extremely windy, but now things are beginning to calm down, beginning to see less wind, and that will continue to be the trend here through this evening, tonight, and tomorrow. So, this afternoon has been a pretty good time frame for cleanup, and that will continue here tonight and tomorrow. And there'll be a little bit more blowing and drifting, but nothing like what we had at the start of today.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We do appreciate it. I think we'll skip through the South American weather because it was just too much fun to talk about what happened.
Hey, the weather news was right here.
Yeah, the weather was here, baby. Hey, thanks so much. We do appreciate it.
That is, of course, pleasure,
John Davis. He is with Earthris Technologies in Chicago, Illinois, where they had 19 inches of snow. Kind of a rough one there. We thank him for taking the time and glad that he made it in to his office space and was able to help us out here on the Closing market report for the afternoon. You can hear John or any of the rest of our analysts again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a very good afternoon. Just a quick look at the weather, and the map shows me that if you're in northern Illinois, roads are still hazardous. I'm Todd Gleason.